Let's go, Rider Nation. I'm ready. I'm ready. Yeah. Here we go. Here we go. Get your feeling now. Get them high. Get them low. Cause we're dealing now. Everybody's giving it all they got. Cause we're ready.
Welcome to the Piffles Podcast, your Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. As always, you got me. I'm Alex.
And I just want to point out that it is 9:45 on a Tuesday night because the CFL decided to do a marathon draft.
3 hours and 42 minutes for the CFL draft. I have thoughts on that. We'll talk about that.
I've got thoughts too. Like, CFL, I love you, but this is like, no, it wasn't good. I'm sorry. Like,
rounds 3 through 8. Excellent. Loved it because it just happened. Anyway, we'll save that for a little bit. That's Greg, by the way. No Steve.
He's down a well.
Yeah. We may or may not go get him. I'm not sure.
We'll do a song.
Yeah. We'll send all our love down that well.
Sending our love down the well.
All the way down. Maybe he'll be back next week. But this is our draft recap, a palooza. We have a CFL draft. We have a global draft to get to. But first, give us a follow on Twitter, X, at Piffles Pod. I'm at Real Alex D.
And as always, I do not need nor want your pity follows at Greg on Sports. And actually, Steve told me he doesn't want your pity follows either.
Really?
He's following my lead. Yeah. So yeah, follow him at Safamod. And if you do, I don't know.
He loves Star Chris Wars. Struggler.
Love Chris Streveler. Send all your Chris Streveler memes. Like, yes, make memes of Chris Streveler. Yes.
And CC us on that because we love seeing that. We're on Facebook as well. Facebook, just search up Piffles Podcast. You'll find us. And of course, the website, piffles podcast.com. Tons of stuff going up on there. Piffles Podcast, of course, brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Thanks for listening on your favorite podcast platform, watching on YouTube or Sastel Max TV on demand. We appreciate that. CFL draft. We have some thoughts. Time for the opening kickoff. All right. So we'll get to the Riders picks and what we think of them, give some immediate reaction grades because it just ended a couple minutes ago. TSN and the production. I want to get to that right now just because it's still bugging me. Right off the top, Farhan Lalji says the Stamps missed the playoffs. Slips up. I get that. He made a mistake. That's fine. He owned up to it later in the broadcast. But it's just not a good first impression. One of the very first things you say to the audience, the CFL audience, in the whole year of 2024, and you guys screwed up. Like, to me, that's fair, unacceptable.
He should have been right.
Yes.
He should have been right.
Oh, and the Stamps should have missed the playoffs in all fairness. But then they had, they asked the commissioner about Chad Kelly. We're not even going to get into that. But spelling players' names wrong on the graphics, to me, that's unacceptable. When they had Darius Black, no, it's Bladek. And then for departures on the Riders from this season, they had Logan Brown. And I looked at the roster. I'm trying to figure out who is Logan Brown. Clearly, it was meant to be Logan Bandy. But for a company that has the monopoly on the league, they should get the players' names right. That bothers me. It's a simple thing that you can fix. And how far in advance, like, you had how long in advance to make up this graphic? I know there's a guy that gets paid just to make the graphics for that show. That guy should be taken aside and said, you're not doing any of these big production shows anymore. Okay. Jim Barker.
I got to defend the graphic artists because some of these guys, especially in,
for you guys,
especially in a, draft situation where, like, I got to admit, the NFL Network did a great job actually crediting their graphic artists, crediting their video people for all of the work they put in behind the scenes, because they needed to have stuff going like this.
Yeah.
And they did. Like, they did a top-notch program, top to bottom, and stuff like that. But yeah, so these, I'm guessing TSN had some poor intern who didn't know Logan Bandy from Logan Brown and just started throwing stuff together. And it sucks.
But the thing is, this graphic would have been made how long ago, though? That's just something, it's just a thing you put over top.
2 weeks ago?
The screen, yeah. But it would have been done a while ago, right? You would think that in production meetings they would have talked about this. Okay, we're gonna put up that. Hey, Greg, this is your job.
Oh, and I get it. I'm just saying, right. Sometimes stuff gets through, and people are looking at a million things until you go cross-eyed, and unfortunately, stuff does get through. Lord knows how many times have I put something up and gone, "Hey, guys, I screwed up."
A lot, actually. A lot. Anyway, Jim Barker had people in my DMs. Tell this man to tone it down. Jim, they put a microphone on you. You don't have to yell.
I love the people that yell when they're obviously mic'd up. It's like, yeah, just talk.
Yeah. I get it. If you're excited, your voice is going to go up an octave. That's perfectly fine. I love that. But that was him the whole time. Like, okay, bring it down just a touch.
Maybe he's all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Watch Step Brothers. Was it Step Brothers?
No, that's
Talladega Nights. That's right. And then it took 147 minutes for the first two rounds. 2.5 hours for the first two rounds of the CFL draft. Now, I've always been the one to defend the league and say everything you do should be the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that. Anything you do should be important. The draft, it's a big thing. It's important. But when you have three guys that are pretty much the only three people in the professional level here in terms of analysts that know anything about these players, you can't give them that long each. Give them 30 seconds each. Have a quick thing. You're probably going to know who the first couple picks are, roughly. Have them on standby. Do the interview with them. That's fine. You should be able to roll this pretty quickly. Now, I'm not saying you should race through the draft, but the CFL, the more picks you can get in, to me, is the better option. If you can get three rounds in 2 hours and start to really expose the players to fans, to casual fans, that's a good thing. I know you want to drag it out because the NFL drags it out and it's a 3-day process and it's a huge, huge production. But you have 9 teams. You can rip through these picks pretty quickly, as we saw from rounds 3 through 8, which took about 40 minutes.
We say it, be bigger, make this a big deal. But when they are trying to find ways to shrink the actual game itself to a 3-hour window, and the first two rounds of your draft of 18 players gets you to midway through the third quarter, that's a problem.
It just, like, there was no flow to it. If it's going to keep going and going like that, that's fine. But there was no flow, and it just didn't feel like they knew what they were doing.
Like, if anything, that should be a tight 2. If you want to do an hour per round,
That's perfect.
If you want to fit 3 in that span, that's fine. 4 might be a little too quick, especially if you want to highlight the players.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, do a tight 2. Seriously, 2 hours, 1 hour per round, and you can pace that out. Like, that is not hard to time out. So with your commercials and everything, you're looking at what, 40 minutes in an hour, about 45 minutes in an hour,
mm-hmm.
5 minutes per pick. There you go. There's your 9 picks. All you have to do is space it out. You can do it. It's just
very easily.
Yeah, like it's they tried too hard to overcorrect from past transgressions, according to the CFL fans. They overcorrected. Hopefully they can bring that back in next year.
Yeah, damned if they do, damned if they don't. All right, well, let's get to the Riders picks. That's what we're here to talk about this week.
Okay, the first thing anyone cares about, who won?
Who won the, I don't have it beside me, but the Michael Riley signed jersey card? Yes. Well, it wasn't Steve because he got a grand total of zero correct.
That sounds about right, actually.
I got one. Unfortunately, you got three. Yeah, I knew you'd hit that stupid little thinger. Yeah, so you, Greg, were right. You're even wearing the shirt, the Greg was right shirt. Purpose, didn't you?
I did.
So you won the Michael Riley card. So one day, maybe I'll let you have it.
That's it'll go beside my unsigned Darian Durant jersey card.
Yeah, so I think I got one right, and then you got three right out of the eight. So it's not like you were.
Well,
right.
Yeah, we tied in the third round, and then I picked up two more, and that was it for everybody.
Yeah. So let's start round number one, third pick overall. The Riders going on the offensive line, which maybe doesn't surprise a lot of people. But the player selection did. It was Kyle Hergel out of Boston College. I think what surprised people the most is that this is a guy that signed with the New Orleans Saints. So he's not going to be at training camp. And to me, in the first round, your first rounder in the CFL should be a guy that's available to you tomorrow. Kyle Hergel would have been there in round two, possibly even round three. You could have grabbed somebody else who can be here tomorrow, who will show up at rookie camp next Wednesday, 1 week away. We're 1 week away from them hitting the field. And this guy we might not see for years, if ever. And in a first round, to me, like that's a swing and a miss. If you get him, though, that's a great pick.
And you and I kind of talked offline about this kind of breaking the old fourth wall here. And I get your point. And typically I would agree with you. But if this is their guy, if they looked at this Kyle Hergel before, like leading into this before the draft, because he didn't get drafted in the NFL. He signed a free agent undrafted deal after the fact. There's a very good possibility he doesn't make it out of rookie camp for New Orleans. Like he could be available this season, probably not going to play, but you look at bringing him in if he doesn't actually make main camp. Even if he does make main camp, if he gets cut, he's still available for next year. Chances are he's probably not going to get too many looks if he doesn't make the New Orleans practice roster in general. But if you think this is your guy head and shoulders above everyone else, You roll the dice on him. You bring him into camp. Is this guy your next Labatt? Is this guy your next like staple on your offensive line? And if your answer is yes, and we're probably going to get him maybe not this year when it's not a need, looking at their Canadian talent after O'Day said, yeah, we're going with three Canadians on the offensive line. Like, good luck to the young guys trying to become that sixth lineman, because I don't know who you're going to cut out of there of the four we thought were going to be starters. So if this is going to be your staple, your anchor, your guy on your offensive line, get him out of the way. Why wait?
I don't mind that in drafts, even if like fantasy drafts, if you are high on a guy, get him. I don't mind that. I don't mind reaching for a pick. But I think in the CFL draft, though, like you got to be smart about this. Like if you know that he's going to get like, and that this happens all the time when guys get drafted or signed in the NFL, they drop. Their stock drops drastically in the CFL. You could probably take him in the second round.
And you're probably not wrong. Like he probably would have been available at position 12. But if you know he's your guy, like you and I, before the show started, I was going through the like past drafts going, oh, this guy ain't here anymore. This guy ain't here anymore. Man, this 2021 draft sucks for everybody.
That whole draft is awful.
like the CFL draft is such a crapshoot.
Yeah.
Like a complete crapshoot. And if you think the guy is good and you think he can make a difference and you can get him, like this isn't Neville Gallimore, who's probably never coming here, but technically speaking, he's our player.
Yeah.
So if you think he's got an opportunity to come here, and I think as a undrafted free agent signing, there's no scout out there right now going to put his career on the line that Kyle Hurdle is going to make the New Orleans Saints. They're going to worry about the capital they put in the guys that got drafted and semi-paid.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good opportunity. And like I said, if he's your guy, he's your guy. But I see your point because, yes, you draft those guys later, like what Winnipeg did with Manu.
What I do like, though, is that taking Hurdle in the first round shows that they're confident. They're comfortable with who they have for Canadian players today. It does show that. Because as much as I say you should have a guy that can be available tomorrow, they didn't need that, which was a good thing. I do actually really like the Canadian depth on this team right now. I think Jeremy O'Day has done a very solid job over the last few years of acquiring very good talent, and especially now getting kind of the O-line shored up the way that we think it's going to be, at least for the next couple of years. You can take that chance and gamble a little bit here.
The cupboard isn't bare. Like there wasn't an immediate need to fill.
Well, look at Ottawa last year with Dante Bull. Drafted him first overall. The guy was clearly not ready to go, but yet they had him start from the beginning because they had to. So at least we're not in that position. And that makes me feel better about this pick. And I like the pick. The interview that he had with Farhan, although the way that Farhan worded his questions for him was awful.
I love Farhan as a sideline reporter. I love his analysis. Farhan is not a good interviewer. I love the man. I respect the man. He is not a very good interviewer. They need someone better in that role. And I understand they got him for his football cred because the guy knows his ball. But
yes, he does.
As an interviewer, not his strength.
But anyway, offensive line, first round, Kyle Hurdle. Maybe we'll see him this year. Who knows? But like I said, I like that we didn't need to get somebody that has to be here in, you know, day one. And funny enough, that's kind of what happened in round two as well. The Riders not going very far, going just up to Saskatoon, Scott Flory's program there at the U of S, going with Nick Weeb, linebacker. And he's coming off an ACL injury. So he won't be ready for camp right away.
If he didn't get hurt, he probably would have. These picks probably would have been swapped.
Probably. And we was kind of looked at it as a top five prospect before he got that knee injury. So to me, I mean, I like that pick. Probably would have been there in the third round. But if teams were that high on him and he was ranked that high, maybe he wasn't. So. But again, this goes back to if this is your guy, go get him. And the way that the Riders' defensive unit is kind of shaping up to be, they need somebody that can be a game breaker at linebacker from a Canadian. And I mean, we haven't seen Adam Auclair, obviously not yet anyway, here in green and white, but he's the projected starter. But if you look at the linebacking group, I see a bunch of backups behind him. There's nobody that really screams.
Lots of special teamers.
Yeah, this is going to be the guy. I don't see that. Nick Weeb probably is going to be that guy.
Like I said, if he didn't get hurt, I guarantee you he'd be third and Hurdle would have been 12. But I hope he gets healthy. I hope he can do it. And getting a guy at a U of S for this market never hurts.
And Scott Flory runs a really good program up there, so he'll be ready to go when he's healthy. Third round, going with a receiver, Dell Duncan Busby out of Bemidji State. with the receivers that they took, because they took a couple more later, and we'll get to them in a minute. The Riders, very clearly to me now, are going to start three Canadian receivers. I think that's the plan going into training camp.
Air Force 2.0.
Yeah, and they need to find the depth to be able to do that. With Jeremy O'Day saying that they're going to go with three Canadians on the offensive line, go with three Canadians at receiver, there's six. You probably have your one linebacker is seven. And now with Jackson Ford's injury, we'll talk about that in a little bit too. There's no given that the safety position is going to be a Canadian spot, at least to start the year.
You still got Dahlke. Like, I have a hard time believing that safety is not going to be Canadian.
I think it will be too, but I don't think it's a given like it used to be.
Oh, no. Especially if you're going to start three Canadian receivers. I still have a hard time believing we're not going four Canadians at the offensive line. Like, you do not have that murderer's row of Canadians who are all starters in this league until one of them, sorry, you're the sixth offensive lineman.
I honestly think Phillip Blake's going to end up with some sort of paper cut in training camp, and he'll start the season on the six-game list.
I could see that happening as well, but it just blows my mind that. But I guess that offers you flexibility down the line in case someone else gets banged up. But if you're going to put even Ferland or Blake, I don't see them signing Sevier to put him on the bench. Like, you're killing your Florins, your Zers, your Fries, because they're not going to get any growth if they're never actually even the sixth guy. That's the only thing that concerns me, is our offensive line, while we have the depth, is going to get old very fast.
Yes. Yeah. So I think, obviously, with the receivers here, going three Canadians is likely at least the starting plan going into training camp next week. So that's Dell Duncan Busby in the third round of the draft. Fourth round seemed like a really good value pick, because this is a guy that everybody on the panel was hyping up to be a possible first rounder, at worst a second rounder. Linebacker Malik Straker out of Arkansas State fell to us in the fourth round. And the Riders have done, they've actually gone for linebackers in the fourth round just about every quite year for the last like six or seven years.
Like, you can almost put that one, like, just etch that one in stone. Oh, fourth round is the linebacker round.
Next year, when we do our mock draft, I'm picking linebacker there. I'm telling you right now.
Because I'm going to game theory. We're all going to do it.
But they've been able to find some guys there. AJ Allen. I think Matt Dean was a fourth round or fifth round pick, somewhere around there. And Nick Thomas.
Micah Tights was a fourth rounder.
Micah Tights. Like, they've been able to find, and even the ones that didn't pan out. Jacob Janke, and there was another one as well too. But it seems like they've been able to find some pretty decent linebackers in the fourth round. So if they can, between Nick Weeb and Malik Straker, if they can get their future starting, Will linebacker there, they're laughing.
And even getting a solid special teamer in a fourth round, that is going to always be there, it never hurts.
Jumping to the fifth round, another offensive lineman, Daniel Johnson out of Purdue. Big guy, 6'6", 330 or something, whatever he was. I don't have it in front of me. I closed the tab.
350 or something.
Yeah, big dude. Not sure. I haven't looked yet because the draft literally just ended, to see if he still has eligibility. But usually around here is when you start taking guys that have an extra year, if you can. So I'll have to look into that. But Daniel Johnson, O-line in the fifth round. And then it gets fun in the sixth round. Deshaun Mims, receiver out of the U of R Rams.
How many legacy players is O'Day going to take? Like,
all of them.
I have a sneaking suspicion we're leading up to the day where he gets to pick his own kid.
Oh, maybe.
because O'Day's kid plays for the Thunder right now, and
when's Gene Mikowski's kid available?
He graduated off the Thunder last year, so I think he signed with the Rams.
Maybe.
I think he's up there. Yeah, so he's got some. He's coming. Like, yeah, we're getting all like with Ford and Mims and Lenius. We are getting the legacy Rider players. You know, apparently, Kenton Keith's kid is Canadian.
Yes, Kenton Keith's kid is Canadian. He drove up here so his kid could be born in Canada so that he could be eligible for the CFL draft.
See, that's better than the Singleton thing.
Yeah.
Like, he's more Canadian than Singleton is. Like,
absolutely.
Let's go.
So Deshaun Mims, son of former running back for the Riders, Robert Mims, one of the only good things that happened to the Riders in like 95, 96.
Those are dark years.
Yeah. So Deshaun Mims, again, receiver. So if you're going to go with three receivers, you got to have the depth there. And they go in the sixth round with Mims, and then the next pick in the seventh round. Another receiver, Aju Aju, out of South Florida. So they're making that a priority again. They did that in 2019 with Lenius and McInnis. Then in 2020, they got Kean Schaefer Baker. 2021, I think, was when Terrell Jano was drafted in the second round. Of course, he didn't really do anything before he retired. But they're clearly making receiver a priority to get that Canadian Air Force 2.0 a thing again.
Air Force. God, I miss that show.
That was a good show.
Yeah. But yeah, the Canadian Air Force 2.0, I'm here for it. I love those days as a writer, and that's, and Lord knows, say what you want about Eric Tillman, but he made Canadian receivers a priority, and those were some great years.
And then with the final pick in the draft in round 8 for the Riders, they took a defensive back out of Western, Richard Adubofer. I hope I came close to saying his name right. Adubofer.
Yeah, it's pretty close, yep. I would think it would be.
So we'll see if he can crack the roster. If he comes up this year or next year, I'm not sure. He might have a year of eligibility. Who knows? But if he comes, then, I mean, with the with the Jackson Ford injury, there seems to be a potential opportunity
for at least a backup position anyway. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
There's a spot on the roster. So we'll see who can step up, because I'm sure rookie camps will be pretty fun coming up here next week.
Okay. So immediately give me your first reaction. Grade the Riders draft for me, Greg.
It's not great because I won the contest. So,
but regretting the Riders draft, not yours.
Oh, sorry, my mistake. I like it. They got some pieces. I think I can see what O'Day is trying to do right now, with the Air Force 2.0, making the O line younger. Like, hopefully, like I said, Florin Frye, Zurich can step up, because Phil Blake's got years on him. Godber's got years on him. Like, they got to do something. And you can't go wrong with linebackers, because, like I said, they play special teams. I don't hate it. The only question mark, obviously, is Hergel. But like I said, I'm sure he's going to be here next year. I'd be shocked. Unless he retires, he's going to be here next year.
They cannot afford another first-round offensive lineman to retire on them.
That'd be not amazing. What's the opposite of amazing? Oh, yeah, not great. So, I don't know. A-?
No, okay. I was going to go with a B, just a solid.
I thought about B+, but I'm like, you know what? I'm giving it an A-, because we got Deshaun Mims, and we need more legacy players, apparently.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll get the global draft out of the way here, and then we'll get to the Jackson Ford stuff.
How many kickers?
There were 7. I thought there'd be 8. I guessed 8. There were 7. 7 kickers taken out of the 18 picks. And the Riders took one of them. They took a punter in the second round, Jordy Sandy, out of Australia, a guy from TCU. So he's actually...
I love Aussie names. You can tell everyone from Australia with their names. Like, they all end with a Y, it seems. It's great.
It's a good name, Jordy Sandy. He's going to be tough, though, because last year's global draft pick, Adam Korsak, ended up having one hell of a year for the Riders last year.
Oh, yeah. It's
so that's going to be a competition. And really, there was no competition for Korsak coming into training camp. So now there is, which is a good thing.
I don't, unless this kid's got a golden foot, I don't know how you're going to beat Korsak. Korsak was the best punter in the league last year. And like, he can play somewhere he wants. He's got a cannon for a leg when he wants to. He's got that weird Aussie style, which I'm certain Jordy's got as well. But yeah, we have officially left the tried and true Canadian kicking style. Like, we are in the global kicker era, and it's not going away anytime soon.
No. And in the first round, the Riders taking defensive lineman Tyrone Teleny out of USC. He's from Samoa. He's a Samoan, Western Samoa. The fun thing about that is Corey Mace actually played with Teleny's USC coach when he was in Buffalo.
I'm putting my one. Is he part of the bloodline?
So you're acknowledging him?
I'm acknowledging him.
Okay, then yes, I guess by default he is.
I want to see one of the Riders, global players that is not a kicker, actually do something on this team.
Well, he's going to be up against Habakkuk Baldonado for a roster spot. But yeah, outside of that, they haven't had a, I don't want to say skill. Again, there's that whole skill player thing. I hate the term. Right? They're all skilled. But it'd be nice to get your own Theodric Hansen, right? Like, Winnipeg knocked that one out of the park, and he's such a good player. If you can get something like that, then even it doesn't even have to be a starter, just a good rotational role player. If you can get that, you're laughing.
And don't get me wrong. Like, I understand that Teleny's coming out of USC, so he's got some U.S. college experience. The Bombers have done such a good job pulling guys out of the European League. Like that's where Hansen came from. And yeah, both of their players they drafted today in the global draft came from the European League. Like, someone take a player from my Musketeers. I want to see a Paris Musketeer on the Saskatchewan Rough Rider, and my days would be great.
It just goes to show me with the global draft, which teams are taking it seriously and which teams are not, with the amount of kickers and everything, right? If you're just taking a punter and a kicker, it shows to me that you're just like, yeah, this is a token position. We can kind of hide them here. The drop off probably isn't as great between a Canadian kicker or an American kicker and
one of the global kickers. Ask BC with their kicker, 2 years ago, where it was a gong show with the global kickers they kept on rolling out.
Yeah. But they feel that's probably the place where you can kind of hide them, right? So I think that's probably still the thought of some of the GMs across the league. But we're starting to find some good players. So this whole global initiative, we knew it wasn't going to happen overnight. We knew it was going to take a while to really take off. Not saying it's taking off now, but we're starting to see more players make a mark on the game and become important players on the teams. And that's exactly what it's all about. So as long as some of the GMs continue to take it seriously and find some diamonds in the rough that have, you know, NCAA experience, like the ones that Jeremy O'Day took today, then that's a great thing for the league. And it shows that this initiative is working.
To be fair, most of these global players now all have some level of NCAA experience. I like the fact that the Bombers, and I can't believe I'm complimenting the Bombers, are taking players that have pro, and I'm using this as in quotation marks, experience in the LF. Like, they're drafting men, not kids.
Yeah.
Guys that have put on the grind. So how, like, the CFL isn't for everybody. So you're going to take a kid at USC who, let's face it, the NCAA players are basically pro players anyway, if you want to admit it or not. Like, they have top-notch amenities. Yep. They have top-notch anything. You bounce around from Madrid to Paris to Tirol, and like, these guys are on buses, not private jets, playing for essentially love a game. They're getting paid less than the CFL players are.
Yeah.
Just to try to recapture a dream they think they can somehow still crack the NFL or at least play football until they can't play anymore. Like, you are drafting guys that are iron, like sharpened by iron. I really don't hate what Winnipeg does in this situation. They're taking guys that are forged to play football, and we're taking a kid at USC who we may never actually play here. I don't know.
I mean, USC is their defense sucked last year, but big time school though. So if you're going to get a guy out of a big time school, then I mean, you kind of have to take that chance. So there's the global draft. We'll get into this Jackson Ford thing, and this comes from Jeremy O'Day at his pre-draft conference on Monday, where he said that Jackson Ford had wrist surgery and will miss part of the season. He didn't say how much of the season, so who knows? Creates a question mark. So going into this, before knowing about this injury, I had Ford and Dahlke kind of just there as the safety, the starting safety, probably rotate like they did a little bit last year. I don't think the safety position and a lot of the defensive positions are going to be set in stone. I think they're going to be a lot of rotation in those positions throughout the year, just to keep everybody fresh. I think that's the type of defense that Corey Mace is going to run. But now that Ford's hurt, so you have Dahlke, and you have the guys to be able to back him up. You have Nelson Lacombo on the roster. You have the Onyekas as well, too, Kosi and Godfrey. They just signed another Canadian DB, probably because of this injury reason, Catley Joseph. So there's guys there that can back up. But I'm concerned about Nelson Lacombo. If you're going to be pressing him in, he's shown that either A, he's not ready, or B, he never will be. Like, I get it. The injury he had in his rookie year, taking his rookie year off, that hurt his progression. And he's been constantly hurt over the last couple of years. And maybe that safety spot isn't necessarily a Canadian spot. I don't think it's set in stone anymore.
I don't see how it's not. Like I said earlier, I think we are going to get a Dahlke Lacombo rotation. Maybe you throw one of the Onyekas in there. Maybe Catley Joseph can step up. But like I said, I find it a hard thing to believe that safety spot is not going to be Canadian. Especially considering where else are you going to pull a Canadian just to make sure we have enough.
Well, you have your three O-linemen.
No, I understand we got there, but you need seven, want eight, right? Like, you need to have ideally that flexibility.
Yeah.
And that, like I said, I have a hard time believing that safety spot will not be Canadian.
I just think with the amount of defensive backs that they're bringing in and quality defensive backs that have NFL experience coming into training camp, that maybe one of them does play safety, at least until Jackson Ford's ready to go. But I think with Ford out, you have that roster spot that you might be able to carry an extra American DB as a starter, where you probably wouldn't have been able to before. And maybe you keep one of these guys around because you're not offering a practice roster spot. You're offering an active roster spot, and they'll keep that instead of saying no to the practice roster spot.
And that's why, and I know we're going to talk about it soon, that's why O'Day's saying they're not starting four Canadians on the O-line. I'm like, okay, well, you should do four Canadians on the O-line and then go all Americans in that defensive backfield then.
If you're going to go with three receivers, yeah, you absolutely could do that. Yeah. And then you have your one linebacker. The way that the ratio is going to shake out is going to be really interesting. It's going to be one of the things to watch in training camp. We see guys play everywhere in training camp just to get the feel and see who can go where. I'm really curious though with Torrey Mace in charge to see where he puts everybody and what he has them doing. So
they've brought in so many DBs.
Like I think there's 21 on the roster right now.
Like Mace has a plan. Like he's got a plan for that defensive backfield. And maybe you're right. Maybe they are going all Americans back there. But once again, that does not sync up with O'Day saying, yeah, we're only doing three Canadians on the offensive line. Because that just blows my mind. Because that does not help the ratio at all then.
Yeah, so there's your three interior. So going to that, doesn't expect Brandon Council to come back this year.
Offensive lineman. Shucks.
Yeah. Has a job opportunity at his alma mater, Auburn University. Was in contention, I guess, maybe was in contention to have the left tackle spot. I don't think he was going to make the team anyway. But it sounds like it's pretty clear that obviously Jamarcus Hardrick's the right tackle and the left tackle's going to be one of the Americans that they brought in. My guess is going to be Jonathan Hubbard. But you do have Phillip Blake as that fallback if the Americans don't pan out. So then maybe you can look at, okay, maybe Phillip Blake, if he can hold up at left tackle, maybe we throw a Deontay Williams at safety or Holton Hill or whoever defensive back gives you that extra flexibility to be able to do that. So we're going to see four Canadians on the offensive line in training camp at some point. Whether they keep it that way after, though, we're not going to know that for a couple weeks at least anyway.
I still stand by you throw Ferland out on the left side. Like Blake with his injury history, keep him in the middle. But I think Ferland's younger. He's slightly smaller than Blake, sure. But I don't know. He played that in the CGFL, and I know for a fact he can play that position.
He didn't look out of place when he played left tackle last year.
Nope.
A couple other notes for the Riders. Roster notes, signed a defensive lineman, Sidney Houston Jr. They did that in between the Canadian and the global drafts. Interesting timing to announce that, but another defensive lineman.
Way to bury a guy signing, guys.
Right. And then they released Braden Thomas, defensive lineman, a few days ago, and it was on the CFL transactions page that they released Tommy Bringy, linebacker. He wasn't on the roster though, so I don't know if that just got missed by the transaction page, because I think he ended the season last year on the practice roster. I don't even know if he was on the roster at the end of last year, to be honest. But anyway, the CFL transaction page showed that he got cut too.
It's still the CFL transaction page is a gong show at the best of times.
It does not look pretty, that's for sure.
Oh, it is a terrible thing.
That's the opening kickoff presented by Kathy Festian of Roy LePage Regina Realty. Let's jump to our Churchill Brewing Company odds and end zones. Let's do this right off the bat here. We'll talk a little bit about gambling and whatnot in a little bit. But we
sorry, I did not expect that.
Talking about gambling?
Well, yeah, because the gambling lead in that was I love you for that. Just continue right. On. Sorry.
Okay. Well, we do have this super sweet AJ Ouellette signed football to give away. So we put it up on social media, Facebook and X, I got to get it out of my house. Actually, is what
I'm eligible to win, right?
I shared it. I guess your name's on the list then. So there's a couple hundred entries. We're going to do the draw right now live. So let me bring up the wheel here. If I remember what the heck I'm doing to share the screen.
The wheel of morality.
All right. So here we go. So we got
wheel of morality. Holy.
There's a lot of names in here. So there's a couple hundred entries, as you can see. So everybody's in there. Lots and lots and lots of entries. Got to scroll quite a bit. So what we're going to do is we're going to shuffle this.
That's more than seven people. That's a problem.
It's more than seven. Yeah. I mean, a couple hundred people follow us. They might not listen, though.
Yeah, true.
To be fair. So we'll shuffle this, five times? I'll click shuffle five times. One,
sure.
Two, 3, 4, 5. And then we're going to do a spin. And whatever name it lands on, it'll show up on the screen, is going to win this AJ Lett signed football. So let's get to it. Congratulations goes to Mike Becker.
Mike Becker?
entering in on Facebook. So Mike, I will be in touch with you to find out how I'm going to get this football to you. So congratulations, Mike. You won the ball. That's a pretty great prize.
It is.
Not going to lie. I mean, I love Becker. I really do. That's my guy. That is not rigged. I promise you, that is not rigged.
And he supports us. He comes to our buses, and
that's how it works.
I make fun of him. Actually, I got to admit, the guy turned me on to Pocket Dogs when I was working out of Calgary. And yes, Jacques Cartier, I agree with you. Ketchup and Cheese Whiz is great on a hot dog.
Oh, Cheese Whiz is fantastic on a hot dog.
Yeah, Joel Gasson, three down, fellow meatball. He called me 12 for enjoying Cheese Whiz on a hot dog.
Cheese Whiz is excellent. Cheese Whiz on celery. Cheese Whiz toast. Who doesn't like that? Mm. Come on. Come on.
Cheese Whiz celery, Cheese Whiz on an occasional cracker, maybe dipping in a pretzel. Hot dog, that's it. I can't do Cheese Whiz on anything else.
Okay. Where were we here? Oh yeah, okay. We'll get the quarterback thing out of the way here. Eli,
yeah, we got to talk about this. God bless. Let's go.
Eli Hettinger is going to join the Riders for training camp as part of the CFL quarterback internship program. College players joining the teams just as an extra arm, basically.
It's a great program.
Oh, it
helps you sports quarterbacks get a little extra instruction.
Yep.
I know for a fact that the training program for quarterbacks, the Rams and the Thunder did one with some extra training. So there is a focus to get Canadian quarterbacks up to a better level. So I look forward to it. So
yeah, and it's a way that, I mean, you have a lot of receivers in camp and you got to try and get them the ball somehow. So it's an extra arm there too, but Eli Hettinger joining the Riders. He's the quarterback of the Alberta Golden Bears. Okay, let's talk some gambling and why it should not be allowed ever in sports ever again.
Oh, let's okay. Can we? Okay, first of all, I, as a former kind of degenerate, still.
No, you're
gambling is. Yeah, okay. Can we stop this? Won't someone think of the children nonsense that has like carried on this narrative? Gambling in sports happens. Let's just, doesn't matter if it's legal or not. I was gambling in Canada off European websites back in the mid 2000s. Sports Select has been around since, I don't even know how long, probably since I've been a kid. And all that is a glorified parlay.
Yep.
So don't tell me that gambling is wrong. And then go, we can do this to make money for the... No, it's either sports gambling is legal or it's not. End of story. Players gambling on themselves. You look at what happened with the Raptors situation this past year. And
banned for life.
And he should be. I'm sorry. Yes. That is the most
insider information. Then yes. That's like insider trading on stocks. Like you can't
That is the wildest story, that all of a sudden I can't even remember the name of the guy. Like this random G leaguer that came up to the Raptors.
Porter,
yes, thank you.
Yeah.
And there's a guy betting on him doing the under on points. I think his over under was like 10 points. And this guy put like 80 grand on or something stupid like that.
Yeah, he ended up getting like $1.1 million.
Of course that looks suspicious.
Right?
And the entire Shohei thing with his interpreter, whether it's him or not, whatever. It like Pete Rose understands. And I get that Sean Lemon supposedly bet on them to win and they lost. So he lost that.
If you bet on your team to win, that's fine by me. Absolutely.
I agree to a point.
You shouldn't I
still think you shouldn't bet on yourself. You shouldn't bet on any game that you can determine the outcome on.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is a slippery slope, whether you bet to win or bet to lose. Let's face it, the CFL community is also tight-knit, and players know if a Rider player is going to know if a BC Lion player is hurt, even if they're not in that game.
They talk.
Of course they do.
You shouldn't be able, this whole thing about Sean Lemon now banned indefinitely from the CFL. Well, that's kind of probably why he up and retired randomly.
After resigning.
Players should be allowed to bet. Just agreed. Not on their own league.
I agree on that as well.
I think there's just way too much inside information that they know. Like Calvin Ridley got suspended for a year in the NFL for placing bets. It didn't involve his team.
It was a FanDuel, because FanDuel's official partner with the league and they reported him because they have to.
Yeah. I think Sean Lemon should be able to bet on the NBA if he wants.
Hell yeah.
You can even do that from inside Mosaic Stadium. Do it inside your stadium. And I
think Sean Lemon should be able to bet on the NFL.
Absolutely. Just not on your own league. If you can, that's the only thing I have. You shouldn't be able to bet on your own league. And I get it. You have to give some sort of harsh punishment because you do want to, if you're the league, doesn't matter what league we're talking about, the integrity of the game is of the utmost importance and you have to keep that. It should be unpredictable who's going to win. It shouldn't be a work. Like
it's gonna be boxing,
a shoot, yeah.
You thought it was real like pro wrestling, it turned out it was fake like boxing.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean just don't bet on your own league. The players know this. They go through training before season started. They know to not do this.
They should know not to do it.
No, they just don't think they'll get caught.
Well, and don't get me wrong. Like everyone knows who Pete Rose is. It's no secret what he did or what he got caught for. He's the all-time hits leader in baseball. And he's not in the Hall of Fame because he got busted for betting. Oh, it is a joke. I agree as well.
If you're gonna his inscriptions.
I know. He's got a few of them. He's got a few of them. I'm sorry. Stuff like that. Like, yeah, he's Pete Rose is the king of the autograph circuit. But
then now Sean Lemon probably was going to be a Hall of Famer. Now you have to question whether they're going to put him in.
I don't see how they do. Unless that suspension comes off, I don't think it's going to happen. Which, and don't get me wrong, me and Sean Lemon are probably not friends, but...
Are you and anybody really friends?
I thought we were friends, but...
We had different thoughts of where this was going.
This is awkward. But seriously, he's a hell of a player, despite him and me arguing DMs, but hell of a player.
Absolutely is.
So he was going to make the Hall of Fame, not on his Rider record, obviously.
Which one?
Not his practice roster and not the one game he played. And refused to drop back in coverage.
Okay.
Twice a rider,
as they say.
Twice a rider. You know, like we'll put him in the plaza. That should probably help him out. But fact remains, hell of a player, should be in the Hall of Fame, will not be because he bet on the Stamps to beat BC and lost.
And that was 70 in what, euro 2021. And that was before single game betting became legal. So
in Canada.
In Canada, right? Like that's
like I said, I was on party bets back in 2007. 2009, I forgot I won money on the Riders because they were 9-point underdogs. I had them both on the spread and on the money line. I still made money, not as much money as I should have, but I forgot about it for over a month because I was so distraught by that game. Like, betting has been around since there's been athletics.
Well, and the stupid thing to me is leagues make so much money off betting.
They do now, yep.
Right? Like, it's no secret, but, oh, hey, you can't do it yourself. Like, what? Like, it's such a mixed message. I know it should be pretty cut and dry. Hey, just don't bet on your own league. It should be that way. But for whatever reason, it's so convoluted. And we're seeing guys get, and we see guys get suspended indefinitely or banned from leagues like the NBA.
Well, that one.
That one was a special case, though.
That one highly deserved. That guy, obviously, and don't get me wrong, he technically got paid by it, but Sean Lemon lost, what, 150 bucks Canadian, maybe?
Yeah.
70 euro.
Big deal.
Yeah, like, don't bet on yourself. Like, don't bet in the league that you play. Like, there's a saying in there. I'm going to keep it PG. Like, don't crap where you eat. Like, do not bet on your own league.
Yeah, exactly. If only it was that simple. Want to bring up the Banjo Bowl bust. We have, 20 seats available, something like that, just over 20. So we're more than halfway sold. Obviously with the excitement of the draft happening, but the Riders taking the field next Wednesday for rookie camp and then Sunday for main camp, May the 12th. Good Mother's Day present if you're in Saskatoon. Take your mom to first day Rider training camp. I'll take my check in the mail, please, Riders. But anyway, Banjo Bowl bus. $325 bucks a person. If you want to go to the Banjo Bowl, cheer on the Riders with us and what, 53 other Rider fans? That's assuming all three of us are going. I think it's like a 56 person bus, whatever it is. But there's,
I think I will be partaking this year. It's the Thunder Hilltops game, but I might be coming. So you've been warned, people. You've been
warned. There will be 53 other Rider fans on the bus as well, too. So if you want to do that, send us a message. Shoot us a DM on Facebook or X. Email us, piflespodcast@gmail.com. And we'd love to have you on. Just a $50 deposit to get your spot booked. And then the rest is due by, I think it's July 1st. Yes. Steve has all that information. I'd give you all the proper information, but he decided to bow out this week.
Well, because he's in a well.
It's his fault.
Why'd he fall down the well?
I don't know. Dumb people do dumb things,
I guess.
Speaking of that, Chad Kelly spoke again.
Oh, my Lord.
Well,
his lawyers spoke.
His lawyers spoke, sent out another statement. Denying that Chad Kelly ever made sexual overtures towards former Argos strength and conditioning coach in his statement of defense. Kelly states that she has advanced these spurious claims against him purely to draw the attention of the media to what was otherwise a very routine termination situation. Okay. I don't know why a quarterback would be involved in a termination of a strength and conditioning coach, but okay. He denies liability for any damages claimed by her and formally requests the dismissal of the lawsuit with costs payable to him on a full indemnity basis. So that's the latest on Chad Kelly. Guy just needs to go away. This whole thing needs to get sorted out one way or another, because the longer this drags on, and I don't want to say dragged on, like that's not the right thing, because you want everything to go the way it should go in the court of law and how it's all going to work out. But for the league, they need this to go away and for it to be done one way or another very, very soon. They cannot get into when reporters actually start showing up to training camp because they have to ask. And if you don't have a proper statement, which we haven't seen really from the CFL, from MLSE, from the Toronto Argonauts, like they're just, we talked about the court of public opinion a couple weeks ago about Chad Kelly and how it's already kind of, you know, it's too late for the league or the Argos to come out and say anything. And now they can't because legalities, right? Like this needs to get finished somehow. It's a mess.
This is, oh, it is a mess. And Chad Kelly's not helping himself by going on social media.
He needs to just stay away and shut his mouth. That's what he needs to do. His lawyers need to tell him that. Pinball needs to sit him down and say, like, put your phone away. You don't say anything to anybody ever. Like, that's your job right now.
But he likes him for him, whatever the hell that means.
Jeez. And started on his tweets too.
That's like a DM. That's like Kevin Glenn's DM when he said he got hacked. When he was complaining about the Red Blacks.
Well, they did kind of screw him over, though.
Well, no. Kevin Glenn has everything. He was right about the Red Blacks, but
yeah, he was.
His claim that he was hacked, like, that was a DM that was supposed to be a DM and he put it out in public. Chad Kelly says he likes him foreign. I'm pretty sure that is probably was supposed to be a DM and it was public.
No, I think Chad Kelly's just that stupid.
Yeah, a little column B.
Just going based off his history.
But the fact remains, unfortunately, his best defense at this point is she's jilted, and he's probably going to dig into that.
Probably.
And this is going to get worse before it gets better. It's going to look bad on the league. It's going to look bad on the Argos. And the reigning most outstanding player is going to be a traveling garbage can fire all season.
And the league does not want that.
And like, don't get me wrong. He has his time to prove himself. He has his time to do all that. That's fine. But this needs to get wrapped up. The longer they let this kind of twist in the wind is just going to make it worse. And I don't understand why the league hasn't stepped in going, hey, Chad, shut up. Because he's not helping himself right now.
Well, in the league and the Argos, MLSE all dropped the ball when this first came out by not issuing a statement right away.
Oh, dug their heads in the sand. Like, it was ridiculous how long they just
could have been like, you know what, right now we're aware of this. We've talked to Chad. We have no further comment. You could have gotten away with saying something just very PR like that.
Yeah.
But the fact that they didn't do anything like that skewed public perception against them, possibly more than it would have been.
And then Chad did his stuff on social media.
And then he starts posting stuff like, just no, like it's just
change his passwords. If I was his lawyer, I'm like, I'm changing all your passwords. Your logins are gone.
Yeah. What a mess. Anyway, one way or another, guilty, not guilty. I don't really care either way. At this point,
oh, I do. Don't get me wrong. Well, I do. If he's guilty of everything he's been accused of,
that's bad. Obviously,
he can go to the fan control league. Like he can try to do the Quante Stiggers thing. I don't care. But it's just so dumb and so ridiculous that no one understands like crisis PR anymore. Get ahead of the story, mold to where you need it to be, and they're just playing reactionary the entire time.
It's a very CFL thing. Anyway, that's it for Chad Kelly. Enough of him. And that's going to be enough of us this week. I'm so excited though, Greg, because the CFL offseason's pretty much done. We had the draft next week, next Wednesday, rookie camps open.
It's going to be May.
Yeah. As long as you love May. It's like my favorite time of year.
I got nothing else.
No, it's that's all.
May is my go-to.
That's all you need. But rookie camps open up on Wednesday. I'm excited. We're going to get reports anyway out of Saskatoon of rookies and who's looking good and whatnot. And then they'll have roster moves on the Saturday, I think, are due because they got to get the roster down to X amount of players. And then training camp is, you know, a week from this Sunday is when main camp opens. So I think I saw, Trevor Harris and AJ Ouellette were driving from Ohio to Saskatchewan today. So
Trevor Harris is going to be here Thursday. I know that.
Yeah. So they're around. Yeah. Football season's here. We did it. The off season is over. And I'm looking forward to the green and white season. It's going to be hopefully a good one.
Hey, as long as we win a game after Labor Day, that's all I care about.
And preferably like three of them at the end of the year.
Yeah. And Calgary doesn't make the playoffs and I'll be happy.
That'll be a good day. But to get us set for training camp, rookie camp next week, he complained about it enough, so we're bringing him back. It's been a few years.
I had to hear about it in Niagara.
That's your fault. And he said, hey, he said cheer dads need to keep cheer dads things to themselves. But anyway, he complained, and to make his triumphant return to the Piffles podcast next week, your friend and mine? Question mark?
Friend?
Acquaintance? I don't know anymore.
I'm even me. I don't think he's my friend. I think he's more Steve's friend than anything. This is Steve's fault.
Okay.
You worked with the guy. I had to go to a Jays game with him. Like, Steve, if anyone, Steve's his friend.
Yeah, and he would have been like nice at the Jays game because he would have had his kid with him. And
yeah,
I got the at work Jamie. Jamie Nye, host of the Green Zone on CJME and CKOM, is going to join us next week on the Piffles podcast. Give us a look into the Riders roster, what he thinks is going to happen. And he talks to the fans as well, too. He talks to people like us every single day. I have some questions about expectations of this team and where we should be tempered at, because my expectations are pretty high for this team. I need to know whether I should lower those expectations. So I'm going to throw that at Jamie Nye, and maybe we'll throw a Tuck Rule question in there for him.
Oh, please. Well. I want him to block me again. It's been so long since he blocked me.
He's never blocked me. He slapped me in the face once, but he's never blocked me.
I hope he took that to HR.
HR at radio stations? Okay. That's not a thing.
We're going to pay you very, very little for long hours to do nothing.
That's a whole nother podcast. But
off the rails.
Yeah, that I think that means it's time to go. Piffles podcast brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Special thanks, of course, to Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty and Churchill Brewing Company for their support making this show possible. Thank you for watching on Sass Telemax TV on demand on YouTube, listening wherever you get your favorite podcast. So we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Greg, sing us out.
The ghost behind your mind. Okay.
No, oh, that was terrible. Do it with Tyler Gilbert.
Okay, we'll do it that way. Oh, no, where is it? Oh, there's a ghost behind your mind.